So last Sunday, we heard about the parable of the Good Samaritan, and we learned quite a lot from that. And I invite you today, just once again, to join me as we turn to the scriptures. If you may stand to your feet, to Luke chapter 14 from verse 15, as we look next at the parable that comes from us, from verse 15, that comes to us this morning of the great banquet. Now, the context of this passage of scripture is that Jesus has just been invited to the ruler of the Pharisees' home to dinner. And along with him, there are other important people that have been invited to this dinner. And in the midst of them, he heals a man with a dropsy, and that's on the Sabbath. And he makes some observations which he wants to speak to us about this morning. From verse 15, when one of those who reclined at table with him heard these things, he said to him, "Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." But he said to him, "A man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at the time for the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, 'I have bought a field and I must go out and see it. Please have me excused.' And another said, 'I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I go to examine them. Please have me excused.' And another said, 'I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come.' So the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house became angry and said to his servant, 'Go out quickly to the streets and lanes of the city and bring in the poor and the crippled and blind and lame.' And the servant said, 'Sir, what you commanded has been done, and still there is room.' And the master said to the servant, 'Go out to the highways and hedges and compel people to come in, and that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste my banquet.'" And this is the word of the Lord. Let's just give thanks to the Lord. Indeed, Father, we thank you for the reading of scripture, and we submit ourselves to the authority and power of this scripture, that, Lord, you may speak to us and transform our lives, and grant unto me prophetic utterance to speak this word as I should. In Jesus' name, amen. Please take your seats. So I want to speak to us this morning on the theme, responding to God's offer of hospitality. Is anything showing up there? Okay, nothing. All right. Responding to God's offer of hospitality. You know, the reservations to God's table are for the humble. The reservations to God's table are not for the proud and the self-entitled. Jesus Christ has reserved invitations to his banquet in the kingdom of God. As we see in Luke chapter 22, verse 14 to 18, last Sunday we had communion here. When he was breaking bread with them, he said, "I tell you, I shall not eat or drink of this bread and fruit of the vine until I drink and eat anew in the kingdom of God." So there is a supper that is coming in the kingdom of God. It is coming in the kingdom of God. And while we wait for that supper, I want you to know that essentially that has begun now, as Jesus Christ breaks down his life for each one of us daily. And God's invitation surpasses what we may deem to be of higher value. Whatever it is that we may look at as to be of great importance and higher value to us here on earth, the invitation to this supper is much more valuable than all that. Amen? We need to realize that. Amen. So God's hospitality is selflessly abundant. And that's what he wants us to understand from him. You know, he's for us. And he's selfless. He has abundantly given of himself to us in this invitation. And Jesus Christ was invited to this exclusive dinner at the Pharisee's house. I say it exclusive because of the guests that we see and the choice of the guests that this ruler makes in chapter 14, verse 1. The selection of guests and their disposition at this dinner defies God's standards of hospitality, because he has selected the big names in town. He selected the entitled and the friends and people that he plays golf with and all these people. You know, he invites them to this dinner, you know, and they come to this dinner. They know where they are supposed to sit. On all the important seats and corners, they know where they are supposed to be. My, don't they feel so entitled? So Jesus Christ makes this observation, and each one of them, they go to their, you know, their actual seats where they know they are supposed to sit. And Jesus has a word to say to this host. First and foremost, to the guests, he says, look, when you are invited to dinner, don't give yourself a seat. Perhaps your host has somebody else in mind, and they'll come and humiliate you. And he turns to the host also. Look, it's so obvious the people you are going to invite, I can see it. If you are seeking value in the kingdom of God, then invite those from whom you expect nothing, so that you can receive eternal value in reward. So God's table of hospitality satisfies beyond the physical need. And that's very important for us to catch and understand this morning. Because in John chapter 6, verse 52 to 58, and every statement that has been given here by our convener of the service and was that Sharon? And the words that they give and the singing, thank you words, all this is tying in with the message today that really Christ breaks down his life for us, and he's become our main menu at the banquet so that we may receive life from him. In John chapter 6, verse 52 to 58, having multiplied bread and fish and given to the people, and then the people are following after him, and he turns around and says, you're following after me not because of the miracles that you see, but because of the bread that you ate and the fish that you ate. And then he goes on to say, he tells them that unless you eat of my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. So verse 52 to 58, the Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? So Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like the bread the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. So Jesus is the main menu at this banquet where we've been invited to. Now, listen to this. God wants you and I to respond to his invitation to dinner in humility. And that's what he wants from us. Why are you here? And with what kind of disposition do you come to the table? And believers will receive lasting benefits from eating at God's banquet table when they consider the nature of God's generous disposition and respond to it. So it is time for us to consider the nature of God's generous disposition and then respond to it. What is this nature like? Number one, God's hospitality is selfless. It is selfless. You can trust him. You can depend on him. He has given it all to us. And that's why he sends out this invitation in this parable. And God's invitation was not only to the Jews then, because they are in context here, because Christ came first to his own people. He came to his own people, as John chapter 1, verse 11 and 12 says, Christ came to his own people, but his own people did not receive him. But to those who received him, he gave them the right to become children of God. So he's come not only for them, but for us. He came to them first because they are the tree that supports the branches, and we are the branches. We are the branches. So we are hewn out of the Abrahamic covenant in that sense. So God's desire is that all may be saved and served. That's his desire. Everyone should come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and everyone should have a portion at the table. You have a portion at God's table this morning. Life, holistic life, is your portion this morning. So the people who display a sense of entitlement may miss the banquet. They may miss the banquet. Sometimes, don't we feel so entitled? Doesn't it cross my mind sometimes, say, hey, they cannot do without me in that church. God, you cannot do without me in that church. That's entitlement. Who said? You cannot do without God in this church. Amen. It's us who cannot do without him. We need him. We need God. Amen. And we are often lost in our personal interests and misplaced priorities. We have all these personal interests that we have, as important as they may be, but when duty calls, when kingdom duty calls, that surpasses our personal interests. And that's what we need to catch this morning. Secondly, God's hospitality is just. So God sent these invitations to the people, and in context, to the Jews, the original recipient, the first recipient of this invitation, and they didn't care. They just didn't care. God gave it out, they didn't care. But God, this God is a just God. He's not just looking at the Jews. He's not just looking at the people that are seemingly in line, but he's looking beyond. He is a just God. As the host sends these workers to go out in the streets and bring up those that are hungry, to call those that are hungry, this shows that God does not segregate those whom he has invited. He's a just God. You cannot point a finger of blame at God. You can't. Sometimes you say, God, but why me? Why isn't this happening to me? It's not about that. It's not about that. We need to know that God is just. He is concerned about you in the holistic manner. And all he's looking for is that your life should be totally surrendered to him. Why can't he have the whole lot of you? Why are you saying, God, why not me? Why this? Why not this? And God is saying, let me have the whole lot of you. Then you will see what I will do in your life. This is what God is saying to us this morning. So the seemingly entitled Israelites did not recognize the Messiah. He came to them. They were expecting him, but they missed him. They missed him because of their expectations. So our expectations may be wrong, may be misplaced. So we need to check our expectations of who God is in our lives. Okay? So there are needy people out there. Okay? There are many needy people in the communities who are readily available to come to Christ. And this is what this is showing us. So as Jesus sends the servants to go out in the streets, bring the lame, the blind, and all the disadvantaged, go there on the periphery. Go there. You will find them. And I liked the scripture you quoted in Hebrews 13 that Christ suffered outside the city, out there, on the periphery, with the hungry, with the prostitutes, with the rejected, and with all the LGBTQ people. He suffered with them there. And is there suffering with them. So he's saying, let's go to him. There, out there. And do the work with him there. To work with him and transform them. And bring them in the kingdom of God. I know we have gone through a lot with COVID, and some people still have not come to church because they feel when they come to church, there is COVID all over. But I see the glory of God all over. I don't see COVID all over because God is here. Other people haven't come because now they are disillusioned. And we are concerned, oh, that one hasn't come, the other one hasn't come, they are not there. Well, they may take long, or they may not even come back. That's why we need to go out there and call people from the highways, from the byways, from the corners of this city, and compel them in. It's an opportunity. It's a great opportunity that we have right now. I don't know if some of you remember, those of you that are older in this church like 9 years or 10 years ago, when we are having a focus on evangelism, that we actually went out one evening, a rainy evening on the streets. How many of you remember that? And we went out to evangelize, and we were sort of anxious, are they going to come? But we found them waiting. They were ready. Sometimes we have this paranoia thinking, oh, people hate church. No, people are needy out there. Let's go out there. They are hungry for God. We just maybe don't represent him well. Let's represent God. Let's not present ourselves, but represent him. So if we miss the banquet, it won't be because we haven't received the invitations. It's not because of anybody else. It will be because of us. It will be because of us. Thirdly, God's hospitality is comprehensive. When he sends, the host sends the servants to go and bring in these people that are needy, that are not entitled, that look at it as a privilege. They come in, there is still room. There is still room. Listen, there is room at the cross for you. There is room at the cross for every person you see on the streets and everywhere. There is room at the cross. Yes, there's room at the banqueting table for you to come and bring in as many as you would. There's room at the cross. Let's not restrict entrance into the kingdom of God. It is for everyone. It is God who is going to transform the lives of people that are brought here. It's not me, it's not you, it is God who is going to transform them and make them beautiful in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah! Praise God. So, in the parable of this, the servants are sent to look for many more strangers. You and I have been sent to look for many more strangers. You know, they'll look like strangers when they come here. They won't look like you. Definitely they won't. They will be strangers. God is interested in those. They don't even know where Matthew chapter 5 is or John 1. They don't know. They will be totally strangers to this. They may just walk in smelling weed. They are in the right place. They are in the right place for transformation. The opportunity to be with Jesus Christ, it should be received wholeheartedly. And that's what the entitled missed. They focused much more on their earthly opportunities, earthly privileges, and as much as those will be important. And this one has just bought land, says, I haven't inspected it. How do you buy land without inspecting it? Sometimes they were not even telling the truth. Oh, I've just married the wife and I've done this. Now, these are things that you can do after attending to an eternal invitation. There are many of all those things we can still do them after we put the kingdom of God first. So we must look at the opportunity to be with Christ as of a higher value than anything else. That's why in Hebrews chapter 11 talks to us of these patriarchs that desired a city whose maker was God. While we are here, we still desire a city whose maker is God. And that's very important for us to know. We are pilgrims on earth here. We need to understand that. You may feel like you want to be entrench your life here on earth, but sooner or later you realize that your years are expiring here. There's a purpose for which we need to be here at this particular time, but when that purpose ceases, we have a city. Hallelujah. Praise God. So those who are free of the cares of this world, they look forward to the coming city, to be with Christ, to see him. Revelation 22, verse 20. That's why we proclaim and pray together, Maranatha, come, dear Lord Jesus Christ. We are people of hope. We are people of hope. So there's the bread of life at the banquet table, Jesus Christ. And God invites you to come and partake of him. So I want to conclude this message by saying these three things: that God's hospitality anchors all of our needs. All of our needs. And that's why he's invited us to this banquet table. And his offer of life is the ultimate invitation to the satisfaction of every longing soul. That's the ultimate satisfaction. So let us put our priorities right so that we may promptly respond to God's invitation. And with this invitation in our hands also, we must know that it's an urgent invitation. It's an urgent call to go out and bring them in to participate with us. Hallelujah. Praise God. Why don't you stand to your feet as we pray together, reflecting on this word.